Morning on warfare with satanic forces and victory. Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. I was in spirit on the Lord's day. The Greek is I became in spirit in the Lord's day. That is, I was caught away into the day of the Lord, or the Lord's day, in the spirit. So John and I, if you don't mind me saying it this way, received some similar experiences in a number of regards. Although his was symbolic and pictorial, mine was not. He became wrapped in the spirit in the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it into the seven churches. We find in verse 17, after he describes him, he says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first, and I am the last, I am he that liveth. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things that thou hast seen, and the things which shall be hereafter. How could he write the things that shall be hereafter? Because in that spirit realm where he was, he saw things that hadn't happened yet. It didn't make any difference that it hadn't happened yet. He was seeing it anyway in that realm. He was caught away where he saw the Lord with his face shining as a sun in his strength. There he was able to see in that realm. And in that realm, the awesome, overpowering presence of God caused him to fall down at his feet without any spirit left in him, as it were, as dead. And in chapter 4 and verse 1 we read, After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. He saw the counterpart as a door. There's no doors in heaven. Didn't make any difference. He just saw the counterpart. I saw a starry, inky blue sky. And I saw the starry sky, stars swept aside as it went on through. It doesn't make any difference what earthly counterpart, symbolical thing you see with a soulical man in the mind. There is something in the spirit that is real. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking to me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which shall be hereafter. Come up where I am into this realm in the spirit. Through this door, this access I have provided for you, you come on up. You have to do something by faith and begin to move in the spirit realm. When you get up here, I am going to show you things that haven't happened yet. And I'm going to show you things on earth that haven't happened, and things in heaven that haven't happened. You're going to experience things that have never happened in this timeless realm, that you may share it with man below. And immediately, I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. As soon as he was in the spirit, he was there in heaven, and there was the throne. And he that sat on was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats they saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. You say, do they have crowns of gold in heaven? No, there's no crowns of gold in heaven. That's the earthly counterpart to the glory, the majesty, the position that they have. It's the only way you can relate it here. Up there, he did not see crowns of gold. He saw with his envision crowns of gold. But in his spirit, he saw something different. What he sees here is not what he experienced in spirit up there. This is what he related to you in the counterpart, what he saw in vision as a soulical man, even as I did. I understand these things even more perfectly now after that experience. Now, the devil succeeded in banishing the Apostle John to the little tiny isle of Patmos out in the Aegean Sea in the Mediterranean. But still, although the devil had got him banished, had taken the last of the apostles, and had got him out of circulation, and to the little dinky, tiny island. We were going to visit that when we were in Greece, but it was so far away and it was so tiny and so nothing, you know, there, that we decided not to spend the money and time to do it. But we look at it in the map, a little dinky thing out there, a bunch of other islands around it. But there, God gave him his greatest assignment, writing the unfolding revelation of all the things to come, the apocalypse, the unveiling, the revealing. There he was in the Spirit and saw things he had never seen and was able to reveal it to man that all the ages might in the future read it and know thereof. And now he was not preaching to small groups here and here. He was writing to the whole future Christians, nations, as it were, that would come in the days to come. His greatest assignment was when the devil had him bound. And there he received the most revelations from God, the most visions from God. He was caught up in the spirit realm and saw the future. I want to say to you, the devil, his forces will plot, plunder, rage, but he's got God to reckon with. And God will not abandon us to Satan's rages and strategies. Our greatest danger is ourselves, our own apathies. Will we discern the spirits that come to us and beguile us? Or will we not discern them and fall prey to every spirit that would trick us? Will we fight demons when they attack? Or will they lay there and let them attack us and put our mind under and believe it and wallow through it for weeks? Or will we try the spirits, recognize them, discern which ones, and fight them immediately and come out victorious in that realm? Will we keep in touch with our commander? Or will we be going it on our own? Will we call for angelic help? Or will we try to fight it on our own? Will we exercise our will when under attack? Or will we not exercise our will and let him mow us down and do whatever he wants us to do? Or will we say, no, I exercise my will for God. It stands written. I will not yield to this thing. Will we decide our fate concerning God's word? Or will we let the thing go and make no decisions? John saw the crucified Christ, risen triumphant. Risen because Jesus trusted God and denied himself and denied the devil. John saw Jesus walking in the midst of the church ages. He had not abandoned his church. John saw him as our high priest. That was the garments he saw him and described as high priestly garments, mediatorial garments. Garments of one who is mediating for us, intercessor for us. Talk about intercessors. Brother, we've got a good one. I don't think he's asleep. John saw him with eyes as a fire, all holy, searching us, but loving us all the time he's searching us. John saw angelic warfare. So don't blame us if we see angelic warfare. He saw one-third of the pastors, messengers to the churches, swept away into apostasy by Satan in the last day. He came and he said, now, he saw the seven stars in his right hand. So these are the messengers to the churches. Angels are not God's messenger. One angel for this church and one angel for this church in that realm, but God has sent his pastors to be the messengers. We are his messengers. We have the message. And this message of salvation is to be preached not by angels, but by men. And he wrote to each messenger of each church. You don't write to angels. They already know everything before you write. And this was a message to each one. And these stars, he said, were the messenger to these churches that received a letter from John concerning what he saw. And then he sees the dragon, the devil. He sees his tail down in the end time reach out into the stars that are placed in the heavens. Now understand, everything he saw was in heaven. He saw the woman, the visible church. He saw the man-child. He saw the dragon. He saw that everything he saw was in heaven. But these things were transpired on earth, so don't be bothered by the fact that the stars are in heaven. So is the dragon. So is everything else he sees. So is the dragon. And he sees, he takes the stars, these ministers of God, a third of them. This is not past tense. This is a present tense, the things of which beast shall be hereafter. And he casts them to the earth. Now, if a third of the ministers apostatize, you know the congregations do too. There has already been a lot of churches in the old line church joined the World Council of Churches and go under, but they never have really tasted the things to come. They never really had the understanding, the walk with God. But there is coming a testing to what we are receiving. And when we get delivered from spirits, evil spirits, when we bind those strong men in our life and cast them out, we have got to fill our lives with Jesus. We have got to take the next move of the Spirit and come in the Spirit realm. Lest that demon come back with seven others more wicked than himself, as Jesus said, and you find yourself not only with the same thing you were delivered of, but a bunch more besides. Because now, with three of those things, you gave back into it again. Giving the devil more opportunity. He saw God open doors to the truth that all the opposition together could not shut. That's what he saw. Philadelphia church age. And he opened a door that no man could shut. No man could shut it. The government cannot shut it. Laws cannot shut it. All the opposition cannot shut it. All the Christian opposition cannot shut it. All the non-Christian opposition cannot shut it. The communists cannot shut it. The liberals cannot shut it. God has opened that door, and he's going to leave that door open. And we must be in a place to be used of him to enter that door and minister God's love to them on earth and the truth of God. He saw God close doors to unfaithful ministers, that all their money, all their popularity, all their holdings, all their talents could not reopen it. He closed the door. It had been open, and he closed it. He had given them a door, and they abused it. They spent millions of dollars on blah, 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 instead of on truth and on and moving in the Spirit and on causing the people to repent. It's just a lot of blah, 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 blah. And after years of skim milk, God's going to close the door and say, you're not faithful to the truths and the power of the Spirit I've given you. I've given you popularity among the people, hundreds of TV stations. And what have you done with it? Millions of dollars have come in. And what have you done? Practically nothing. You didn't tell the people anything to strengthen them. It's just a lot of ha-ha, blah, blah, blah. Now, that's not everybody, but there's some in that category. And I'm going to shut the door, and all your TV stations and talents and monies and managers won't open it. You'll be dead in the water. He saw God on the throne. And I'm going to say that God is steering the course of this universe as a captain of a helm of a great ship. And it shall be even as he has said. The Antichrist, the scripture says, talks about him coming. The Greek means an allotted time. He has an allotted time. He doesn't have free reign. He can't come whenever he feels like it and do what he wants. They have set up schedules, and over and over and over and over again, those schedules have been set aside, set aside, set aside. All their planning and schedules have been set aside. He has not done what he's wanted to do. He's tried for a long time because God is still on the throne, and there is a hindering process that's hindering him until his allotted calendar time, which God's allotted him, is a short space, tells exactly how long it'll be, and boom, he's all done. So, you see, the devil doesn't have power. He just has a little bit of delegated power left, and he's allowing him to run his course, and that's it. And then God's going to just pick him up, you know, like you pick up an old moth off the floor, throw him into the fire. And he's all done. All done. And then those in the lake of fire, when he comes down and says, oh, thou become weak as we. That's what it says over in the book of Ezekiel. You become weak as we. John heard angels sing with a blood-washed throng around God's throne. That's what I heard. I sang with him. John was there. He saw the angels around the throne singing. He saw the 24 elders. He saw the four living creatures. He saw them and heard them sing the songs of redeemed. And it hadn't even happened yet. But he experienced it anyway. And nearly 2,000 years ago. He saw what hasn't happened yet in the spirit. As he came, immediately he was in the spirit, came up, saw those things. John saw God's will be done on the millennial earth as it is done in heaven. For the saints ruled and reigned with Christ 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And he saw that his will is done. It's going to be done, my friend. It's going to be done. The prayer that Jesus taught us to pray is going to be fulfilled. You don't believe that Jesus taught us a prayer that's never going to be fulfilled? Ask the Father for something that shall never be? No way. Do you know he wants his will done in his church? He wants us to hasten to do it? John saw the visible church as a woman bear fruit. One company of saints that came out from her during great distress of the church was targeted by Lucifer, who had turned dragon-like, to destruction during the time of world government. I say that because Revelation chapter 12 is clear. The time element is clear. The old dragon is right there. That old red dragon is right there. He does not yet have the 10 horns on his last head. 10 crowns, I mean to say. These 10 kings have not yet joined the Antichrist system, but the world government is in force, and the woman is in great travail. You know what's going to happen? This man-child is not going to be born until we are living in world government. Don't let anybody ever tell you or prophesy differently. It shall not be. Now, sometimes God says things ahead of time. That is, God says his time is not ours, and God says, this is the end time, and his end time is the last days, and the time is upon you, it should be very soon. And we think that means, 1 year, and he means 20 or 30 years. Our time elements are different. The man-child is not being born now. It is not being born now. All prophecy must align with the word of God. And regardless of what your faith says, and that when you're excited in the spirit, it's not being born yet. It is still developing, and it needs a lot of development yet before it's born. And the church itself is not yet in that travail. It is not travailing, but it will. When you get world government in force, brother, we are going to be in travail. We're going to be in trouble. In trouble. While we are talking about the greatest move of God the world has ever seen ahead of us, and we shall see it and live in it and be a part of it very shortly, I want you to understand that we are going to come into a world government in which we shall be bound. I mean, which laws shall be made like in ancient Babylon against God's people. Now, God will prevail, but we shall be under heavy duress and laws and difficulties and hatred against us. And we're going to be really in pain, in torment, paining to be delivered. I mean in torment. That's why God wants this high calling. That's why he wants us to move in spirit realms. Because we're going to have to go through some rough things before the out-translation. This is not going to get better and sweeter until Jesus comes. In the realm of the spirit, that may be so, but in the outward, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And we are going to need to be furnished in heavenly realms and be in that position, or we will not be able to withstand the pressures that the devil is going to put. Just the temptation alone is going to overwhelm many people. Just the fact that parks will all be noticed if you want to. You can dress any way you want, any place you want. People can go topless up and bottomless up and down the street. They can do anything they want, any place they want. Everybody, the kids, your children, everybody can do anything they want at school, any place else. You see, the temptations are are going to be great, plus the pressures they put on you that if you don't do certain things and you won't get certain jobs and this, like they put pressure in the communist world, if you're not a communist, and if you're a Christian, it's even worse, but there's going to be faithful ones there. But I ask myself, how can people who cannot stand now stand then? They're afraid to witness now. What are they going to do then? The only way you're going to be able to make it, my friend, is if you've been moving in heavenly places. Don't kid yourself. This level of faith and discouragement and weaknesses and fears and intimidations is not going to pull you through. Plus, there's going to be a lot more demonic pressures and demonic attacks. A lot more. That's why God trying to desperately fortify us. Because he will take us through like with a high hand like he did in Babylon with the three Hebrew children. And the fire won't even burn us. It won't even smell smoke on us. But there's going to have to be a dedicated people that are able to be in that position. So, like Daniel in the lion's den, and like the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, the man-child saints overcame the devil and he was caught up to God into his throne. Her other children were unable to be caught away to that angelic realm, and so they suffered as martyrs. When the man-child is gone, the remnant of his seed is still on earth, and in chapter 13 and verse 8, we find them suffering and going through martyrdom. Either that, or the scripture says they fall away. And under the coming world government and Antichrist dictator, they fall away. John saw Israel besieged with armies. You know, there's been a lot of talk about war in the Middle East. There's coming a bigger war there. All people are posed around it right now. Ezekiel identifies these nations as Russia, Germany, Turkey, Libya, Persia, Ethiopia. And John adds to the list the kings of the East, probably China, India, Pakistan, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, others down in that Southeast Asia, and maybe Japan. There's going to be a push against Israel. I read a report. I cannot verify the report, but I keep reading more and more about it. It makes it sound like it may be true. I read a report that says that when Israel in Lebanon, they found great tunnels that the PLO had made all under Lebanon with enormous catches of armament and supplies. And although the PLO just had about 20,000 men, there's one article said, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they said there was enough supplies, or at least in some areas, for 1 million men. They would have to be somebody else coming in using those supplies. Now, that may be their own, assumptions and maybe an exaggeration, I don't know. But the article went on to say they found documents in those underground caverns. They found documents with the names of Russian military advisors by the hundreds, in fact, by the thousands, and others being involved, and they found documentation that Russia was prepared to enter Lebanon and push Israel out and go down into Israel and take it over. They claimed that Arafat went to Moscow and he told them in Moscow that he only had small arms to fight Israel with, and Israel had sophisticated weapons by the United States. And they wanted Russia's help, and he said, this is the time, but you can come on in and help us take over Israel. They claimed that at that time earlier, it was Brezhnev at the time, that he said he'd bring it to the Politburo, and before Arafat left Moscow, they had meetings. They claim, according to what they claim the documentation was, they claim that the political advisors were very cautious, worried about reactions from the West and other things, and did not want to go in. They said the military advisors were for it, they wanted to move on in. And they said the military minds prevailed, and they started building up the supplies down there. I just read yesterday in our newspaper, Hill, that Arafat's advisor had gone to Moscow again. Russia says they're with him, they're behind him, and so forth. Russia has moved into, as you already know, with a great amount of military advisors by the thousands into Syria. And they've got loaded with equipment, replacing everything that was lost. And Begin said it would take a hundred truck, weeks to get all the catch out of that airplane back into Israel again. Now, if that be true, then Russia was trying to, the big bear was trying to go down and take over even at this time. But you see, God won't let him do it yet. It's not time yet. For a long time, Russia has wanted to do a lot of things that they haven't been able to do. The communists have admitted that their 7-year plans have been put off and put off and put off in other areas. The World Council of Churches have made plans that have been put off and put off and put off. Jean Dixon says she has predicted things that did not happen. She said they should have happened, but some other power came in and offset it, and it didn't happen. And she didn't understand what that power was. There was a letting power that the scriptures talk about in 2 Thessalonians. It says, we who now let or restrain will restrain until out of the midst we be suddenly gone, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. And there was a holding off, a holding off. In fact, the devil tried to do this, type of thing way back earlier, you know, through Napoleon and through Charlemagne and Genghis Khan and others. He kept trying down through the ages, but God's holding them off until that particular season and time. They will not be able to do what they want to do. Therefore, look for more liberal government in America, helping and allowing Russia to increase her military might. Look for takeovers of West Germany so that Gomorrah, London, or Germany might come down with Russia. West Germany is going to fall. I believe that's what this means when it says Germany. Takeover of Germany. Takeover of Turkey. Turkey has not yet been taken over yet. But President Kennedy removed all of the missiles in Cuba that were facing Russia when Russia moved the missile cases out of Cuba. When Turkey, United States withdrew all of its missiles out of Turkey that was facing Russia, according to the agreement at that time with Khrushchev, when Russia pulled its missile cases empty out of Cuba, and what was said to be a John Kennedy victory was a Khrushchev victory. Missile cases went out of Cuba, missiles went out of Turkey, and later Turkey asked for Americans to give atomic mines across the border to replace the missiles that were taken out. That was never reported in the press until years later, and our same press admitted this, but never told us back there what really happened. Over and over again, I find out you have to go to other sources to find out what's happening, and over again, finally, they leak out that is exactly what happened. Now, look for takeovers of West Germany, Turkey, Libya, Iran, Iraq. I say that because we're talking about Persia, Ethiopia, and Southwest Asia. Look for Russia and China to unite. And so if we make a parity with Russia, and we build up China to protect against Russia, China and Russia are going to join their forces together as communists against the capitalists, and they're going to have way more than a parity. Look for world government. It will come, and we will live to see it and live in it. According to the scriptures, very clearly, positively, no question. These things will happen yet. What you're seeing in the newspapers and reading are things that are going to continue to build in the direction that God says. For those years laid just right up ahead of us. No wonder angelic hosts are rushing to aid us in the fight against demons. No wonder they are giving us visions. No wonder God is exposing demons. No wonder God is moving for deliverances for His Son. The end is in shape. There's work to be done. And God's people sleep as in the night. Demonic warfare is going to increase. But angelic warfare is going to increase too. We must now move in the spirit to see the warfare and call for angelic help. By see the warfare, I mean to recognize the warfare that has been going on that we have not been aware of. We must be keenly aware in the spirit of what the warfare is and receive from the Lord angels and His spirit and wisdom and how to deal with it. Keith Gunn told me when he was here the last time, a few weeks ago, that their children, meaning the children of the church, in Chippewa Falls, at their church, are going through things that they've never gone through before. The children are now having to face things and go through things they've never gone through before. Although God has been doing more in their church than ever before, the demons have rushed in to counterattack and they're going through things like never before. Parents, I warn you, you protect your children. They are going to be pretty soon under an onslaught. And they are going to go through things they've never gone through. And you're going to have to know how to get them delivered, how to help them. You can't sit back ignorant and say, well, mommy's never believed in that. My daddy's never done that. My friend, you're going to have to help these little ones. We had a lady in this assembly who was in the assembly for a number of years. Her name was Beth Tilden. And the devil began to attack her a few years ago ferociously. And it was purely demonic. And this is before this time we really began to have the deliverances. But before that, we did resist the devil and have deliverances, you know what I mean? But not in the same kind of organized way, but we were doing that before. And we told her, this is demonic. And I told her myself, I sat right down there and I warned her. She was ready to leave the church. And she wasn't happy with anything. But she was just saying, I can't live for God and might as well leave. And spirits of suicide were coming to her. Total hopelessness and unwilling spirits. And I told her, I said, and spirits that were controlling spirits in her mind until she couldn't think straight. I said, Beth Tilden, you are going to end up in an insane asylum or you're going to commit suicide if you don't get delivered. You are headed right into that area. You are talking suicide. You're talking about quitting. You're saying irrational things. You're listening to demon spirits, and they're going to kill you. They're going to ruin you. I warned her of others before her. I said, you've got to get delivered. She admitted they were demonic. And she said she was unwilling. The spirits had come and put such pressure, she did not want to fight them any longer. And she was unwilling to fight them, although she knew they were demonic. And so she left the church, went back with her parents. A couple of weeks ago, she committed suicide with a 30-06. Just as I told her that she would do if she would not get delivered. I'm warning you. I got a recent letter from a girl that left this church. The same thing happened. Her mind began to go into all these crazy things. We warned her. We told her, you need deliverance. This is demonic. In her, there was a spirit of unwillingness, clear-cut unwillingness. She stated she was unwilling to get rid of these areas in her life. She wrote me a letter the other day. We put her out of the church, but she was unwilling to fight these things. And she told me the other day, she wrote me a letter just about 3 days ago. And the letter said, I am going insane. And I'm not going to make it to heaven. I'm not going to make it, she said. And then she put as a P.S., please have the people pray until I know I'm going to make it. Here's somebody struggling to make it, but she wouldn't take the help. She refused to accept this thing for what it is and fight it. That is another girl that's going to end up the very same way. We may hear from her about suicide not too long. Maybe it's St. Asylum first, I don't know. Unless something happens, be praying for her. I received another letter. There was a fella in this church named Mike Cardwell. And this man left and joined the opposition. Here was a married man who left his wife, allowed seducing spirits to pull him to somebody else's wife in this assembly. That other man had walked with God, but his wife was not willing. And Mike Cardwell's wife had walked with God, and she was willing, but he was not. And they would not break the relationship. He went out and joined the opposition, and so did she. She had no complaints when she was here. She hugged me. She asked for help. And as soon as she got out there and joined them, she went under all kinds of accusing, attacks, and things she'd never made before. And all of a sudden, she was in direct opposition. And I warned her about the opposition, and she said, don't worry about me. My father taught me to think. And I said, we're dealing with demons. Demons. Now, he came back one time and exposed the opposition to me. Told me the things they were doing. Had a good spirit, but that spirit came back to him and he fell back into it again. Quit, and he kind of back and forth. You know, he was against us and forth and against us. But he went out, and because of that, and he got into problems, real problems in his life. And because he would not walk with God or his wife or his church, they were exposed. He now is sentenced to 9 months in jail with a possible 5 years. Maybe it's still a couple other places. He's in trouble. He's in trouble. And his wife said, I believe judgment has come because he has refused what God has given him. And he went out and willingly did those things. There was another person in this assembly who fell into problems and sin, and we worked with him. He came out of it and he repented. But that spirit came back and he took that thing back And he got into trouble. And he is now, as I understand it, best I know, he's in jail or prison. Maybe they're for up to 5 years. Judgment has hit them because they would not hear what the eldership brought to them. Now we have had probably 200 people put out, 200 to 300 fall away. The numbers continue almost weekly to rise. How long will it be till your number is up? The nucleus who are moving in God, they won't fall. My friend, these people did not think they would fall one day. They did not think they will fall. They did not think that. Mike Lovey never thought he would leave Community Chapel. He's out. He's not music director up there any longer. I received a letter just the other day of this person saying he felt definitely led of God to write me about 56 pages or something. Felt definitely led of God to write it. Rebuttaling all my contemporary problems, classes, and rebuttaling me and making very many unkind remarks to me, although the letter was written impolitely. And then I got another one the next day, and it said, I find it strange that I'm writing to you another one, 34 pages or whatever it was, making nearly 90 to 100 pages. I find it strange. Of course he is. The Spirit is on him. And he thinks it's God. He thinks God has led him to teach me. And I warned about that in this assembly, did I not? I warned about spirits that said they were God leading you to be over the pastor, to teach the pastor. Interesting enough, this letter is almost identical to another letter by another person earlier, who God was leading him to the very same thing concerning our music. And both of them were super well written. I mean, beautiful. We could have used these people in publications, the kind of talent we're looking for. And they both had that ability. Both of them, it was kind of in a polite vein. But then the Spirit took over and they would say all kinds of accusations that would grind the pastor and the music ministry right into the ground with a heel. And say everything, you know, all kinds of things. And always speaking from the position of God, of absolute knowledge. And that person wrote letter after letter, that first one, and I finally asked him to leave the church, go someplace else if he didn't like it and couldn't be one with us. And now this person does the same thing, and he's in the same place, and he thinks it's from God. He can put all kinds of arguments out. As far as I'm concerned, I wrote him a little tape letter rebuttaling some of that, showing him straw men, he tears down, wrong logic, misapplied, misunderstand. He'd been brainwashed by the liberals, which means the devil. And he won't let it go, and he's going to get in trouble because he has a strong bias because the liberal forces have put him in a certain place. I don't know how long he's going to last, but of people who've come, as God directed them to teach me in this high position, two have been rescued and six have been lost so far. I warn you, lest you be next. The adversary of our souls is masquerading as God, he's masquerading as truth, and he's masquerading as our own minds. And there is a spirit that even comes, it's a very beautiful spirit, to entice, saying, I am God's love, when it's not God's love at all, and it'll drive you to adultery. We've got to be careful to try the spirits. He works in our minds without our knowledge, and he blinds our minds. And he's a good blinder. That is, he can really blind. And we've got to have our hearts pure and submissive, we'll be in trouble. Only by love, humility, submission, prayer, and dedication we keep out of the fowler's net. Pride will lead to a fall. That's what the Bible teaches us. Pride will lead to a fall. It'll lead to deception and therefore a fall. Pride sets you up for this and then a fall. Deceiving spirits can come in if you've got pride. We've got to get in the spirit realm. There's no pride. Rebellion against delegated authority is rebellion against God. Lack of dedication gives demons free access to you. If you don't have absolute policies and decisions on certain things, and you get access, they have access to you. We had a man, after prayer the other day, we came down from prayer, and I was walking down to this room with my wife, looked through the window, and I saw a man out here trying to get somebody delivered. I don't know how he fell into that, but he was all by himself, as we warned not to do. And that fellow he was going to be delivered was going into a high wrestler's bridge. And I rushed out here, the door was locked, and I was fumbling with my keys, trying to get in as fast as I could to help him. And we rushed in here, and got a hold of him on the floor, and I had to keep grapevining his leg and kicking that one foot out from under him so he couldn't get any support. And he was really, and when I got there, he really acted up. This young man said that he was born again, but not spirit-filled. He'd just been coming here just a few weeks, I guess. And another fellow who started coming here, he says, gave him these drugs. And he says he shot himself with them. So you're violating principles, taking drugs into you, open demons up, and then deliverance. You know, and we could get no control over that demon. He had opened himself up. We tried to bind him. I tried to get him. I would yell in his ear. I'd say, Jesus, help me. See, Jesus, help me. Say, call on Jesus. Say, Jesus, Jesus, help me. And I'd say, I'm talking to you. I called his name. I said, I want you to answer me. And he'd say, Jesus, help me. Either he was very passive and wasn't fighting him, or the demon was saying, Jesus, help me in that way. Oh, Jesus, help me. But there was no fighting. We could not get any control over the spirit because he would not fight the spirit. Some of you can't get control over your spirit, those spirits, not your spirits, but those spirits, because you're not fighting them. And he was violent, a very tall person. And so another person came here, and we got him outside the door, and he was really acting up. He was really going through the manifestations. He'd bend over backwards almost to the floor. And while we held him on both sides, he did a flip in the air and landed on his feet again on the floor while we held him, just rotated. And we got him outside, but because he would not fight the spirit himself, you can't do anything with him. You can't help if they won't fight it. This spirit was overpowering him, and he was unable at the moment to fight against it, and was not willing or whatever, and he was not fighting it, therefore it was controlling him. Generally, in those circumstances, if you quit trying to deliver them and get them out of the church and leave them alone, the spirit will quiet down. It's, when I came, he really burst open. And they do all the more. So we get him outside, and he kind of calmed a little bit, and he was fighting hard, so we said, well, let him go. So we let him go. He walked a few steps across the concrete, did a flip in the air, and landed on his head. I asked him if he had a spirit of suicide, and he said yes. And this spirit was trying to kill him. And we grabbed him, we hauled him over, and there was a dirt around a tree. And I pulled him over and put his head on the dirt, because he was trying to, the demon was trying to smash his head in the concrete. And when I did, his feet went up and wrapped around the tree back here like this, and he was trying to wrap on the tree and go. He was contortions. You tell you, people going by, if they were able to see the contortions that were going on outside a community chapel. Here was this man was under demonic attack. You people don't believe in demons. And this man, you know, had said he'd given his heart to the Lord. And he was under these power, but he took drugs. He was in trouble. And so we subdued him. And when the security people came, and they handcuffed him and asked him, we asked to have the sheriff come, and they sent his little woman. We got a violent person. Here she comes walking across this, like this, you know. And my wife's mouth dropped open, her eyes got big, and she went, she stared in unbelief. And I told Lauren, I said, we ought to just give her to her. If she wants to be a police, we ought to just say, here, he's yours now. She was worthless. She couldn't do anything. She had to go and say, well, I need a backup. I told my wife she didn't need a backup, she needed a replacement. She wasn't going to do a thing herself. She stood around and everybody else did it, and she didn't do anything until the man came, she didn't do anything. Worthless. This new liberal position is terrible. Romans 13:12. Now you know my opinion. Equal pay for equal work? No, they never do it. They stand around and watch the man do the work. It's a man's job, it's not a woman's. 13:12. When night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Works of darkness are these spirits that are moving in this dark realm, and the spiritual wickedness that it tells you about in the book of Ephesians, and the darkness. These are demonic things. He says, put off the works of darkness. It means quit letting demons influence you any longer. And when he says, put on the armor of light, it means come up in the spirit into the heavenly realm and for the Father of lights and imbibe the light from the Father of lights that we might have spiritual light and understanding. This is a spiritual warfare. Spiritual darkness, spiritual light. Two more scriptures. Ephesians 5:8. for ye were sometimes darkness. He didn't even say you were in darkness. You were sometimes darkness. You were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Light. God has given you light. Walk as children of light. Meaning that you can walk as children of darkness, again, by allowing the spirits to come in and yielding, or you can walk as children of light. He's given you light. Now walk in the light. And lastly, 1 Thessalonians 5. Some of you are going to have a trouble with 1 Ephesians. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 5 and 6. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Amen.